Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Bob Kincaid, who's the co-founder of the Appalachians Communities Health Emergency Campaign and president of Coal River Mountain Watch, and also the founder of the Head On Radio Network, on which he's a regular host. Welcome to Background Briefing, Bob Kincaid.
Thank you very much, Ian.
And obviously your state of West Virginia is very much in the news because of the chemical spill that's affected the 300,000 residents in the Kenai Valley who, for what, 5 days on, they're still out of water, without drinking water and water to bathe in. And the water that I've seen in pictures in bathtubs looks absolutely foul. And I can't believe that anybody thinks that that water is ready to drink. So just give us a brief update, because obviously what I want to talk to you about is that the broader environmental and health issues affecting the people of West Virginia beyond this current crisis, because apparently West Virginia residents are exposed to deadly toxins routinely, which are used across the state in mining and mountaintop coal removal. So let's just touch on the current story and then move on to what we want to talk about.
Absolutely. I think we need to understand the present status of this disaster as having entered phase two. They have said, they've told people to flush their lines. They're slowly trying to return water service to the entire area, and they are doing so on what has been described as very, very shaky science. The absolute latest breaking news on this is that the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, have issued a warning that pregnant women in the nine-county affected area should not drink the tap water at all until such time as it is certified to contain absolutely no methyl chlorohexane methanol.
So what's the official state? What's the official statement from the government? Are they saying it's safe to drink the water?
Yes.
They are. Yes.
They established somewhat arbitrarily this standard of one part per million, which derives from the only study that's ever been done on this chemical, which was done by the chemicals manufacturer, that established the lethal dose mortality rate on a group of lab rats.
So I understand, for example, that the Elk River runs under the Ohio River, and now the city of Cincinnati is closing off its ducts that used for taking drinking water out of the river until this water passes through. So, you know, and you see pictures of people filling their bathtubs with this brown, brackish water. Are people heeding the government? Why the hell is the government telling people to drink water when it's clearly not clean?
I'm somewhat of a cynic on this, I suppose one might say. I believe that this determination is driven. This is not a scientific determination, Ian. This is a determination that has been based on political needs and corporate profit needs. West Virginia American Water needs to get the water flowing again, because this is a publicly traded corporation whose shareholders will not sit still for losing money.
And in the case of Freedom Industries, my understanding is that they're likely to get nailed because they're a small fry. But Massey Cole, the same U.S. attorney who's supposed to be looking into Freedom Industries, is also the same U.S. attorney who gave a free pass to Massey Cole over the Big Branch mine.
That's not entirely so.
Well, no, a couple of the executives got nailed, but the top people seem to get away.
He says he's still building a case toward the upper echelons, and of course the upper echelons means Don Blankenship.
Right.
Massey has since been acquired by Alpha Natural Resources, and what we need to understand is that there is a bright line that runs from Freedom Industries, Orwellianly named as it is, from Freedom Industries to the coal industry itself, because this is a chemical that would not have been in Charleston, West Virginia, were it not used in the coal processing and preparation cycle.
So tell me about this washing coal. This chemical is used to wash coal. So what does that mean? That all, when you dig the coal up, like with mountaintop removal, you got bits of earth and bits of twigs and whatever in it. Is that what happens here, that this chemical leaches out the other, you know, rock and dirt and other stuff? Is that what happens?
Apparently the way this chemical works is it helps to It causes impurities like clay and other kinds of rock to separate itself from the coal, so that the coal is then free of these so-called impurities.
But so boy, that means this chemical
for use in coal-fired power plants and the like.
Right, but that must mean that this chemical is pretty potent. If you can extract rock from coal, it's pretty toxic, isn't it? I mean, it's you know, it seems.
That's the thing, Ian. Nobody knows.
I see.
Nobody knows.
Okay.
By virtue of the fact that the Toxic Substances Control Act is largely toothless and gutted as a result of conservative politics, and the fact that a plan that would have prevented this disaster altogether was rejected 3 years ago by the governor of this state, Earl Ray Tomlin, and the fact that this is a proprietary for-profit chemical that is closely guarded as a business secret by its manufacturer, nobody knows what it does.
Well, again,
the only thing we know is that at a rate of 845 parts per million, I think I'm getting this right, it kills half of the lab rats within 24 hours who are subjected to it.
Again, I'm speaking with Bob Kincaid, who's the co-founder of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign, president of the Cold River Mountain Watch, and founder of the Head On Radio Network, of which he's a regular host in West Virginia. So tell me, let's go to the subject, which is why I called you, Bob, which is the broader environmental and health issues affecting the people of West Virginia, because just our focus is on the 300,000 residents of the Kenai Valley, but the entire state has been subject and exposed to deadly toxins routinely used in mining and mountaintop removal. So give me an overall picture of the state.
In essence, for about a decade and a half or a little bit more, this state and central Appalachia generally, which is encompassed by eastern Kentucky, southwest Virginia, and northeast Tennessee, has experienced something called mountaintop removal coal mining. It is a process by which an entire mountain is leveled, and what's on top of the coal is scraped away, dumped in valleys, streams are buried, and then they get at the coal. Now, sometimes these are six-inch seams of coal, but it's very profitable because it does not use a lot of human labor. It's largely mechanized. In this process, 5.5 million pounds of the same high explosives that Timothy McVeigh used on the Murrah Federal Building back in 1995 are used in our communities across central Appalachia, 5.5 million pounds per day. In that process, 500 mountains have been destroyed, the oldest mountains on Earth. 2,000 miles of streams or more have been buried. Water has been fouled. The air has been polluted. And what we've found out in the last few years, by virtue of some scientific inquiry, is that people who innocently live near these operations are experiencing cancer in shockingly elevated rates as compared to the general population or Appalachia as a whole. People are suffering elevated cancer rates. People are experiencing elevated birth defect rates. It goes on and on and on. And the purpose of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign was to bring attention to these studies that show that people are being killed for profit and sickened for profit in the mountaintop removal sacrifice zone of central Appalachia. That resulted in the introduction in June of 2012 and the reintroduction in January of 2013 of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act. It's H.R. 526 in the House of Representatives, and it calls for a cessation of the issuance of new permits for mountaintop removal until a fully funded federal study can be accomplished to determine what the causal links are between mountaintop removal and these clusters of horrifying disease.
So it would seem that the outrage of the ecological destruction of this state and of these mountains, you say they're the oldest in the world, is not sufficient, at least so far. It hasn't stopped it, right? But the fact that all the people in the neighborhood are dying at an unusually high rate, that may finally get somebody's attention? Is that what you're telling me?
We hope so. We are working diligently, even as we speak, to get more support for the bill in the House of Representatives. We are begging, we are pleading for some senator to introduce a companion bill to it in the Senate of the United States because this is not an aesthetic or esoteric argument anymore about whether or not nature is pretty. People who live here are being sickened, poisoned, and killed. This has become an existential crisis, Ian.
So what about Jay Rockefeller? He's your senator, and he's on the way out, right? Why doesn't he do it?
I wish I had the answer to that. We've asked ourselves, and we don't get an answer.
Right.
He has nothing to fear from the coal industry anymore. The rest of the political class of West Virginia is held completely and entirely in thrall by the coal industry. Joe Manchin, the senator, is not the senator from West Virginia. He's the senator from the coal industry. The same applies to Representative Shelley Moore Capito, Representative David McKinley, Representative Nick Joe Rahal, the governor of the state, Earl Ray Tomlin. They are all captive subsidiaries of the coal industry. Jay Rockefeller has manifested over the course of his distinguished career genuine concern for the well-being of America's citizenry. Why he remains silent in the face of this shocking, horrifying data about the health and well-being of his own constituents in the Mountaintop Removal Sacrifice Zone is simply beyond me, Ian.
So just in closing, what is the local West Virginia word for Democrats and Republicans?
Oh, we don't have those, Ian. We have colocrats and colicans.
God. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Bob Kincaid. Let's do a follow-up, too, because we barely scratched the surface here. I appreciate it.
I would love to talk to you at greater length about this, Ian.
Thank you. Again, I've been speaking with Bob Kincaid, who's the co-founder of the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Campaign and president of the Coal River Mountain Watch and founder of the Head on Radio Network, of which he's a regular host in West Virginia. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Took the kids to the park and disappeared by half past.